antagonism to free enterprise economics, as defined by the principles of Scripture, ever since banks were first established on American soil. As a result, the American dream, which once meant being free to reap the rewards of your own labor, as the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, that morphed into a debt-ridden nightmare, driven by a lust for instant gratification. You see, bank credit is the great facilitator of instant gratification. That's the means by which we violate the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. In a world of mass advertising, mass marketing, and the great American daily ritual called shopping. You know, someday, when all of our shopping malls are finally connected, we'll be able to drive from coast to coast without need of a state or federal highway. Today's message picks up where we left off in our discussion as to how free enterprise capitalism morphed into a corporate or fascist, bank-funded, centrally planned economy, which, as more bailouts facilitate federal takeover of the corporate system, will eventually evolve into a perfect socialist model. At the top of the pyramid power structure, of course, will be the high priests and shamans of bank credit, who preside over a fascist, a socialist, and a communist economic system. Bank credit is the modern synthetic lubricant for the engine of trade and commerce. Overlooked, however, is the fact that credit is also the lifeblood of all government tyranny. Credit is what sets government free from dependence upon taxpayers for its source of funding. In these United States specifically, the system of Federal Reserve Bank credit completely reversed the role of government as servant of the public by reducing the public to the status of servants, beholden to a government with inexhaustible funds and with no idea how the political economic landscape was completely inverted. But if you were the one who controlled the monopoly of credit, and you had the legislation, the military, and the police power to compel public acceptance of that credit, is there anything that could be denied to you by a politically and economically impotent general public? Now, in order to keep this game going, you need fraud and deception. That's part of the necessary costs of keeping this game running smoothly. Like in the movie V for Vendetta, The Matrix, or They Live. But how much of what does the deception actually cost those who create dollars of credit out of nothing? Deception is a more efficient and economizing method of taking care of your resources than the outright compulsion by an overt police state, in that victims of legalized fraud are unable to resist what they do not understand. Victims of fraud are far more docile and compliant. Here's our music. This is our first break. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. You're listening to Datum Line.
Are you tormented with anxiety, depression, or other chronic symptoms of less than perfect health? In 2010, a few people got to participate in a groundbreaking discovery. Dr. Carolyn Dean, world-renowned authority on natural health, has recently patented a technology that is straight out of science fiction. And she invited me to try this product called RNA Drops. And within 12 hours of taking RNA Drops, I could feel an amazing sense of bliss. And since then, I've watched my troubles with depression and other health issues vanish into freedom and happiness again. Listen to hours of testimonials and get your trial bottle of RNA Drops at www.rnafreebottle.com. That's www.rnafreebottle.com. Pay only shipping and handling and get your free trial bottle today at rnafreebottle.com.
Answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without... If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with 5 other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Called the economic consequences of the peace. And in there he said on page 225 that if government refrains from regulation, now how do they regulate people? Well, not just by statutes, not by laws necessarily, but they regulate you by what you are able to consume. And they can take away your ability to consume in this marketplace by taxing those so-called dollars away from you. Taxes are used to regulate a population as much as the regulations or the statutes themselves. He said if government refrains from regulation, the worthlessness of the money, and by that he means credit, becomes apparent, and the fraud upon the public can be concealed no longer. You see, when a person is counterfeiting $20 and $50 and $100 bills, it doesn't take you too long to figure out that that's what he's doing because the guy has all kinds of crisp new 20s, 50s, and $100 bills. In fact, they might all even have the same serial number if he's not good at it. And he doesn't do much work other than spending, right? But now, if that counterfeiter were to lend that out at interest, you would probably think that he needed the interest in order to be able to make a living. And it wouldn't dawn on you that he was just printing those $50 bills for free. Anyway, that's kind of what government does when it taxes people. It convinces them that they need what they print off their printing presses, and they get off those printing presses 16 million bills a day some years ago. And they said that it cost maybe 3 or 4 cents each bill, but it doesn't cost 3 or 4 cents of anything to produce them, does it? If you think it does, identify what it costs 3 or 4 cents of to get the paper, the ink, and the labor, and even the printing presses. And I'll give you £100 of that absolutely free. See, taxation morphed into a means of concealing the independence of federal tyranny from the so-called taxpayers. And it did that, and has done that, for at least the last half century. Interest also conceals the Federal Reserve's dog and pony show of lending raw numbers to a population of fictitious debtors who refuse to come out from underneath the ether. Those numbers, after all, got them what they wanted, didn't it? And it also added a burdensome monthly bill. So the loan must have been real, right? No, but it's convincing nonetheless. Well, today's message we'll entitle Dictatorship of Debt, Part 10. I was looking through some of my old material, reference material, this morning. And one is a shopper's guide that was published back in Wednesday, November 12, 1986. And this came from Missouri. This was the Nevada. I know if you're from the state of Nevada, it's pronounced Nevada. But in Missouri, the little town on the west edge of Missouri, on the Kansas border, is called Nevada. So the Nevada Daily Mail has its weekly shopper's guide. A lot of communities across America have these weekly shopper's guides, don't they? Well, this particular outfit, week by week, would profile different businesses on the front page of the shopper's guide. And what caught my attention back in 1986 was that there was a bank which had opened up a branch in Nevada, Missouri. And the title of the article on the front cover was Bank Offers Personal Service. And there are stock questions, you know, the standardized questions that this newspaper would ask the merchant, or in this case, the CEO for the Vernon County Bank. And the questions, the stock questions go kind of like this. Who owns the business? How long has your business been in Nevada? And where is it located? How many people does the business employ? Who are they? And what is the job description of each? Now, if you're dealing with a business like a hardware store, an auto parts business, an auto dealership, a building supply place, the next question will be easily answered. That question is, what products do you sell? But how does a banker answer that question? Here's the answer. Vernon County Bank has the full variety of bank services available, including all deposit accounts and all types of loans. What does that describe? When you were a youngster and you went to town with your mom and dad, when they went to the hardware store, you saw all the neat stuff in the hardware store. Oh, boy, look at all this, tools and things. You were dealing with tangibles. When you went to the grocery store, you recognized those things as things that you used to put in your stomach. But when you went to a bank with mom or dad, did you ever ask the question, what do they do here? What goes on in this place? A piece of paper passes between this person and that person. A bunch of papers go from one person to another person, and they get one piece of paper back. What do they do here? And when you look at the size of the banks downtown, some of them are quite massive, 10, 20 stories, and even taller. What do they do there? Well, the reason people ask those kind of questions when they were children, and should be still asking those questions as adults, is because banks don't deal in anything tangible. It is an illusion. It's a mind game. In fact, the next question that was asked of this business, do you have any specialty products? Answer from the CEO, none, really, except personal friendly service. Well, service has a lot of definitions. You look it up in your dictionary. In my Random House dictionary, when you get to about the 30th definition, it has to do with animal husbandry. I won't go any further than that, but if you don't know what it means to be serviced, then you can either get involved in animal husbandry, ask a farmer or someone who offers stud service, or you could go to a bank and you could get serviced down there. Anyway, it took nearly 200 years for intangible bank credit to finally replace our tangible gold and silver lawful money, which had served as the natural lubricant of trade and commerce for thousands of years. Early free enterprising Americans pursued pursued any legitimate trade they wished in order to satisfy their own needs, needs which only they could determine with certainty, but which the Central Planning Committee now determines and regulates, as with your energy consumption and the new carbon tax. In fact, taxes are used to regulate your consumption. If government doesn't want you to consume something, or if they want you to slow down in its consumption, they raise the tax on it. And if they want you to consume more, they lower the taxes on it. That's just one example. Now, the same thing happened years ago when we had the energy crisis. As commercial banks gained a foothold on American soil during the 1800s and early 1900s, we had symptomatic outbreaks called bank panics, which became more frequent and more acute. Instead of recognizing these as symptoms of unlawful banking practices, you know, the violation of just weights and measures, the violation concerning the exaction of usury or interest, and the fact that banks steal from the public with units of measure that measure nothing. Instead, these symptoms were going to serve to justify the creation of a central bank to regulate a den of unruly thieves downtown. Central planners of the New Deal later used the crash of 1929 to justify imposing wage and price controls, just as the Department of Energy used the energy crisis back in the 1970s to mandate the maximum and minimum temperature thermostat settings for all businesses downtown, with heavy fines to punish violators. The fines were at least $1,000 a day, every day to be considered a separate violation if you had your thermostat set a little too high in the wintertime or a little too low in the summertime. My customers back then were not at all interested in the potential battle that I faced over this energy policy issue, because, see, I wasn't in compliance. Until their ox is gored, the public will accept whatever tyranny is imposed upon others. This, after all, is the nature of man. It's the natural byproduct of worshiping the holy trinity of secular humanism, that being me, myself, and I. We generally don't care too much about others. Credit is an integral part of such a regulatory process, since credit supplies the needed information about those who are to be regulated. You realize, of course, that our system of credit is a system of information, as the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston said in their publication entitled Electronic Money and the Payments Mechanism, page 59. This was back in 1980. They said, quote, "Advances in computer and communications technology are paving the way for major changes in banking practices, many of them based upon the premise that money is information." Information about whom? To be used by whom? And for what purposes? Well, during the energy crisis, it was used to regulate your energy consumption. Here's our music. This is our next break. You're listening to Datamine.
A healthy heart starts with Extendivite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion.
Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless...
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere. Heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Black, and I was doing fine. I take care of my own energy policy. Thank you. But they wanted my monthly consumption figures for electric, oil, propane, or natural gas, and I was not about to send that. Nevertheless, the reason the credit system is so important is if you choose not to send the information to them, they can just go behind your back to third-party records keepers. You know, your gas company, your oil company, the electric company, to find out how much energy you're consuming. And if you use banks and bank checks, they can verify all of that through your bank records. In fact, banks are the central collection point of regulatory useful information. You probably noticed that if you ever took a bank loan, which, naughty, naughty, but in order to receive that fictitious bank loan, the fictitious debtor, which would be you, would have to open an account, a debit account today or a checking account back in those days, so as to have a conduit through which the fictitious funds from the fictitious lender are going to flow. And that account also provides the potentially self-incriminating information that will be used against you. The credit system provides a whale of amount of information, and information is power. And there are those who are prepared to use it. But let's get back to the good old days of free enterprise, that system that I say does not exist in America, at least not on a nationwide scale. Back in the days when our ancestors paid cash, and I mean gold, silver, or even copper, up front And when they were free from all of the misery that a debtor lifestyle brought to their great-grandchildren. Back in the days when there was no law that required you to keep books and records, you didn't need to. Why? Well, you didn't need to prove that you were innocent of anything. Okay? There was no monthly bank statement. Why? Well, because you probably didn't do business with a bank. There was no income tax back in those days. Funny thing about that, federal, state, and local income taxes, people say that there are out there. And you had enough spare time back in those days to sit around the stove and chat with friends and neighbors at the general store. You've seen pictures of the old folks gathered around the stove. You don't see that down at Walmart, do you? Nobody seems to have time anymore. They were free to work, and they were even free to change occupations for any reason and as often as they wished, perhaps in response to free market forces as opposed to bank-orchestrated forces. And we'll be getting into the bank orchestration of economic forces. If the value of one agricultural product should steadily decline against the value of another agricultural product, the farmer could plant a different cash crop if he so desired, and he didn't have to consult with a federal agency to see if that would be okay, because he wasn't under a federal program. If all of his crops declined against the value of manufactured goods, on the other hand, he could join the industrial workforce if he wanted to, or he might even open up an independent machine shop, because there were farmers who were quite capable of doing lots of things besides just putting seed in the ground. He could even try his hand at mining gold, or possibly silver, since dwindling farm profits might be the result of a developing shortage of money for one or more reasons. Well, what would those reasons be? Well, increased foreign imports pulls more money out of the local economy, doesn't it? In fact, another thing that pulled money out of the economy was banks. Banks were the greatest hoarders of the public's gold and silver. That's where most people deposited their gold and silver. And the banks liked it that way. Because when they hoarded the gold and the silver deposits, that was their way of getting borrowers to accept competing instruments of fraudulent bank credit that were issued in greater quantity than the lawful money, gold and silver, that was on deposit to redeem them. You remember how that pathology worked? Well, there are probably a few new listeners to this broadcast who maybe don't know. So let's review that. We'll go to the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, publication entitled Your Money and the Federal Reserve System. Yeah. Your money went to the Federal Reserve System, and credit came out of the Federal Reserve System. The money's gone. The credit is out here, and you have to borrow it. Anyway, this is page 4. This is from their revised 1976 publication. They tell us about the history of banking and how it was preceded by goldsmiths. Goldsmiths were the early bankers. Here's how it goes. Quote, "Goldsmith stored gold and coins for customers and issued receipts," those were IOUs, "for the amount. In time, these depositors of gold found they could settle debts by transferring gold receipts instead of gold itself." Isn't that what people do today? They like the paper, don't they? Now, receipts were used as if they were the money, circulating at par, one-to-one, as IOUs for the gold coins that were on deposit. Public confidence in IOUs began to rise, resulting in the next deceptive step being introduced. Here's how this goes. The Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis goes on. Quote, "Goldsmiths soon discovered," they're always big on discovering, you know. "Goldsmiths soon discovered that part of the money left with them was never withdrawn. They could loan it to other persons who would repay later with interest." What would you have done? Oh, here's another break. You're listening to Datum Line, and I'm Bruce G. McCarthy.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
How important is the air we breathe? Our air purifiers are made with a patent process called Aeron. Aeron is different from ozone. Aeron does not create oxides of nitrogen like other ozone machines. Unlike any air purifiers out there, the Aeron generator adds additional energy, creating higher forms of oxygen. And when the Aeron molecule comes in contact with pollution, the pollution is quickly oxidized. These higher forms of energized oxygen have more power to oxidize pollutants, removing dust, pollen, mold, and other particles from the air, destroying chemical fumes and toxic gases, kills mold, mildew, fungi, and kills many viruses and bacteria in the air and on surfaces for a healthier, cleaner environment. Visit our website, republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org. Just click on our online store or call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Be prepared. How important is the air we breathe?
Information. It goes this way, quote, "Furthermore, the borrowers found it convenient to accept receipts for the amount of their loans rather than actual gold." See how that worked? A depositor deposited his coin, received a receipt, began to use the receipt as if it was money. Because a lot of times the goldsmith operation was closed down. Bank holidays, you know how that is. And so when you really wanted something like that neat wood stove, down there at the wood stove store, they offered the guy the receipt for the gold coin. And you just simply told him that, look, I don't have the gold coin in my pocket, but it's on deposit with the bank down there, and you can take this receipt and you can go get the gold. And it was found that, by golly, you could. And so confidence was built up in the IOUs. Well, then the banker decided, or the goldsmith decided, that since there was a lot of gold and a lot of silver sitting there that people didn't bother to come after, he could lend a little bit of that out with the full assurance that there weren't going to be too many depositors come back and demand their gold and the silver back. So now you had gold coins that were out on loan, silver coins on loan, and you had receipts for those same coins that were being used in the marketplace right alongside them. That's fraud. And then the problem morphed into something even greater, in that the borrowers were willing to accept receipts or IOUs for loans instead of the gold itself. So guess who got to keep the gold and the silver? Now, see, you're not so dumb. You figure that one out. Anyway, our system is one of incredible bank fraud. And it began with goldsmiths. You know, another reason for the disappearance of some money, gold and silver, back in the old days, might have been a threat of war. That brings about a reduction in circulating money due to the prudent saving of money during such a crisis. But when we get to today's system of credit, which is 100% credit, there is no money in circulation. No matter if the economy goes boom or bust, the public, as a group or as a whole, is a perpetual debtor subject to an ever-escalating debt burden imposed by their insidious taskmasters down at the bank. Remember what King Solomon said in Proverbs 22:7, the rich ruleth over the poor? I believe him. And the borrower is servant to the lender? I believe him. Don't you? So let's put our current economic system, erroneously called free enterprise capitalism, into political focus. You remember back in the old days when we were told about the Cold War. That was the war between good and evil, where the forces of communism assaulted the defenders of free enterprise capitalism, as if they were genuinely opposed to one another. But when we examine the Communist Manifesto, written by Moses Mordecai Levy, or maybe you prefer his alias, Karl Marx, back in 1848, we find that the United States is steeped in all 10 planks of his Communist Manifesto, a subject we covered in an earlier Datum Line broadcast. But specific to our present discussion is the fifth plank, which you remember is, quote, centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. Okay? So, again, while our present Federal Reserve system is actually a hybrid version of the central bank proposed by Mr. Levy, or Marx, if you prefer the alias, the incessant cry for honest, constitutional, interest-free, debt-free money by advocates of the populist persuasion is for Congress to take over, that means to nationalize, the Federal Reserve, in strict compliance with the Communist Manifesto's fifth plank. I know, this sounds kind of bizarre, but I'm not making this up. Or have we finally come to a point in history where even patriotic Americans honestly believe that Karl Marx provides the solution to our social, political, economic ills? Or could I possibly interest you in a return to the principles of Scripture, which have been long forsaken, but are probably still written in your DNA? And by that I mean the law written on the heart or in your mind, pursuant to what Paul wrote in the Hebrew Epistle of chapter 8, verses 8 through 10. Or he was actually quoting Jeremiah at chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. You see, it's this law of conscience that naturally resists a fascist, socialist, communist, centrally planned economic system built upon the quicksand of man-made fiction called credit. While the Word of God and the law written on your heart oppose this system, Karl Marx, the banking elite, and even our many monetary reformers do not. And we'll cover this subject in greater detail later on in this series. Now, communism was an unfamiliar word to Noah Webster, whose American Dictionary of the English Language, which was published in 1828, was also devoid of such words as fascism, Nazi or Nazism, and socialist or socialism. However, it would be only 20 years later, in 1848, that Karl Marx, or Levy, would popularize the C word by publishing his Communist Manifesto. To define communism, socialism, national socialism, and fascism will require the use of more modern dictionaries than the one published in 1828 by Noah Webster, since he didn't know those words. They weren't around. Unfortunately, they do not supply us, these modern dictionaries, with the definition of words, or they not only supply us with a definition of words newly added to the English language, but they also provide newly revised definitions for existing words that have been with us for centuries. Some of these revisions created a language revolution to befuddle the minds of those who follow political Pied Pipers to the slaughterhouse of social revolution. As Dave Wilbur, another monetary realist, succinctly put it, if I control the words you use, I control your thinking. If I control your thinking, I control your actions. If I control your actions, I control you. Was he right? I think so. I'm going to turn to Random House College Dictionary. 1982 is what I have here. And I'm going to turn to the foreword, the foreword, if you will, written by the editor-in-chief, his name, Jess, as in Jesse James, S.S., Jess Stein, S-T-E-I-N. He was the editor-in-chief. And I'm only going to take one sentence from out of this short preface. He says, quote, many recent words have been included, this is in the revised edition here, as have new meanings for old words. Definitions have often been modernized or improved, frequently as a result of the goodwill suggestions and comments of users. Now, I don't doubt that there are some good-intentioned people, good-willed people, with goodwill suggestions. But there are others who have a vested interest in changing the definition of words to suit them, such as bankers who would like to conceal bank fraud, and they do that by changing the definition of words. Now, Noah Webster, in the introduction to his American Dictionary of the English Language back in 1828, defined language as, quote, the utterance of articulate sounds or voices, rendered significant by usage, for the expression and communication of thoughts, end quote. As to the source of this incredible tool that places man far above the rest of creation, he turned to the Bible, acknowledging language as a supernatural gift from God to Adam. Of utmost concern to Mr. Webster was that his contemporaries and their descendants, that being us, be spared from what he called, quote, the mischievous influence of sciolists. Now, that may be a word you're unfamiliar with. S-C-I-O-L-I-S-T, add the S for plural. Mischievous influence of sciolists and that dabbling spirit of innovation which is perpetually disturbing its settled usages and filling it, our language, with anomalies, end quote. What on earth is a sciolist? Well, Webster, in that 1828 dictionary, defined the word, one who knows little or knows many things superficially. The word sciolism, S-C-I-O-L-I-S-M, sciolism, meant simply superficial knowledge. And you can still find that word in more recent dictionaries. Modern mainstream media gives widespread attention and credence to sciolists, especially sciolists on behalf of the Federal Reserve System, the result being broad confusion in communication that works an insidious and cruel hardship on a hapless general population. We've addressed this phenomenon in previous Datumline broadcasts where we've highlighted editors and publishers, such as West Publishing, for example, of Black's Law Dictionary, which introduced new and confusing economic definitions, which are useful to conceal and accommodate federally licensed bank fraud. Now, when definitions are absurd and don't make sense, we need to reconstruct them so that they will. English is not the patented private property of diabolical wordsmiths. To restore the principles of freedom requires the restoration of sane communication by which to find and assert the truth. If we don't, then we're left with a very confusing world, one which is exemplified by statements made by economists and the Federal Reserve banking system. I'm going to quote one again. We've quoted it in times past. This I'll take from the Federal Reserve System, Purposes and Functions, published by the Federal Reserve Board of Governors in Washington, D.C. This is from page 10, This was their sixth edition, 1974. Quote, for one thing, it is not clear how best to define money. Period. Well, if you don't know how best to define the word, maybe you ought not to use the word, right? And yet that word is used daily. They went on to say, quote, economists have not been able to agree on the best definition of money. That doesn't sound good. Okay. Or maybe we could turn to the St. Louis Globe Democrat newspaper back June 1, 1982. This was an article by Louis Rukeyser. You remember who he was? He was the television host for the program Wall Street Week. And the article was entitled, Just What is Money? Does Anyone Know? And here's what he said. Some of the nation's leading experts on money have begun very quietly to make what many would regard as an astonishing admission. They don't know what they're talking about. In this case, as it happens, they mean it literally. They don't know what money is in 1982. He went on to give us an example. He says, take George W. McKinney, Jr., a highly respected economist who is retiring next month from New York's Irving Trust Company. Is it then, I, this would be Rukeyser, inquired, this being of McKinney, innocently, that we just don't know what money is these days? Here's McKinney's answer, quote, never did know. And then, while listeners to our conversation chuckled nervously, made clear he wasn't kidding. Now, McKinney was no spring chicken, and Irving Trust Company was no small bank. Would you have dared to ask such a simple question? Or to supply such a clear and humiliating response? But that wasn't the only admission of candor. For example, an eminent monetary economist, I'm quoting here, more candid than many of his colleagues, admits that we don't really know what money is, but proceeds to argue that whatever it is, its supply should grow regularly at a rate of 3 to 4% per year. Who said? Well, this was Professor James Tobin. I think he was of Yale University, citing U.S. monetary policy by E.S. Shaw, who back in 1958 had said, we don't know what money is, but whatever it is, its supply should grow regularly at a rate of 3 to 4% per year. Now, during the early to middle 1900s, Edward L. Bernays, nephew of Sigmund Freud and father of public relations, developed a system of persuasive communication techniques for what he called the engineering of public consent. And he did that on behalf of the corporate and government elite who fed his appetite for praise and economic wherewithal. Bernays was not above engineering the definition of keywords either to suit these purposes. In an interview with BBC producer Christopher Bryson, author of The Fluoride Deception, Bernays boasted how, on behalf of the advocates for public water fluoridation, he substituted his own, or submitted, I should say, his own definition for the word fluoridation to the editors of various encyclopedias and dictionaries, and how they began publishing this definition within the space of 6 to 8 months of receiving his letter. Bernays had connections, and he used them. The definition? Fluoridation. I'll take this from Random House College Dictionary, 1982. The addition of fluorides to the public water supply to reduce the incidence of tooth decay. End quote. Who supplied the proof that fluoride does any such thing? As one of the most toxic substances on the planet, this industrial waste product, even in low dosage, is known to cause mental retardation. If ingested, a family-sized tube of toothpaste contains enough of this toxic substance to kill an infant, thus the Poison Control Center's telephone number on a tube of fluoridated toothpaste. The Soviets, as I recall from years ago, used a fluoride compound to subdue and render its political prisoners docile in the Gulag prison system. Yet two-thirds of America's public water systems are now treated with fluoride, Newburgh, New York being the first around 1950. Here's our music. This is our next break. You're listening to Bottom Line.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with BioSuperfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered BioSuperfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The BioSuperfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. BioSuperfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. BioSuperfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your BioSuperfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
You know that maintaining your health is getting harder than ever. GMO, chemtrails, designer viruses, toxins, and mysterious syndromes make it very difficult to protect.
Michael Anthony's Private Stock. Your source for all natural, high quality, affordable, energizing, rejuvenating, powerful, healing herbal formulas. Hi, I'm Michael Anthony. Over 25 years ago, I designed my own line of herbal formulas to serve as allies in defending the body's health and well-being. My product line is a complete arsenal of protection. To find out more about my exclusive formulas, call 845-231-1094, 845-231-1094, or email Michael Anthony's Private Stock at yahoo.com. Michael Anthony's exclusive herbal formulas.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Half Bernays' work were those who are pushing for water fluoridation. Wonder why they were doing that. See, two-thirds of America's public water systems are now treated with fluoride. Newburgh, New York was the first around 1950. My hometown of Brunswick, Maine began fluoridating water around 1957. I was quite young at that time. I was about 10 years old. But my parents immediately switched us to bottled water. And I distinctly remember that bottled water arriving in nice, shiny, yellow trucks. And that was before we moved out into the country to another house, which had its own well. A little PR here and there goes a long way. And a lot of PR has been done on behalf of the banking system. And part of that PR is done by academia, and another part of it is done by mainstream media. And in order to be able to get a fraudulent system moving and to get it to be accepted by the general public, there has to be a great deal of confusion. There has to be a kind of a dog and pony show, smoke and mirrors, you know. And we see that in language, language manipulation. And we saw the language manipulation with Edward L. Bernays supplied the definition, his definition, or the fluoride advocate's definition, of fluoridation. Because that word fluoridation wasn't used. What does it mean? Well, according to them, it means the introduction of fluorine or fluoride compounds into public water supplies to prevent tooth decay. But again, where was the scientific evidence that fluoride does any such thing? Fluoride is one of the most toxic chemicals on the planet. Anyway, we see the confusion in language when we went to the word money, when we find out that economists can't define that word. The same with the word dollar. You remember how Ben Bernanke, Federal Reserve Chairman, in congressional hearing on 1 March 2011, had said, quote, "My definition of a dollar is what it can buy." He wasn't going to provide a statutory definition if he even knows what it is. Or the bank president back in Maine, Kip Soll, president of First National Bank of Bar Harbor, Maine, in a letter to me back around 1981, he said, quote, "In my opinion, a dollar is both the money and the measure of it." Wow, isn't that incredible? A dollar is simultaneously what it can buy, the unit used to measure the money, and it's the money itself. That's quite a definition. But as a consequence, we can't define too many of our other economic terms either, which are all interrelated. Well, this is the end of this segment. I hope it's been of interest to you. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. Thank you for listening, and have a good day.